This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them. Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a fun few weeks at the Squire, just a busy season, and man, just hanging on, man, even by a thread, but I'm still having fun.
Well, this week we are carrying on the excitement from last week. Of course, last week you took us all the way through your journey, going to Chicago and your experience that you've had.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This is really special because you are, you're not just John David Cole, incognito. You are also John David Cole with an iPhone in your pocket. You're not afraid to use it.
What's funny about that is I really don't know how to use it. And so I was sitting there as I was like getting ready to record some interviews there on the floor of the Chicago Pipe Show. I was struggling to figure this out, and I was like, okay, I finally got it. And after I had this great interview with Mike McNeil, who we'll talk about momentarily, I was terrified that I didn't get the audio, but my fat fingers came through,
and
we got it.
So set up these interviews. Of course, Mike McNeil.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Mike was the first person I talked to, and I really wanted to get on Mike because he's obviously, just one of the best blenders in the world, in my opinion. He one of the kings of Virginia tobaccos, and Mr. Optimistic, and that is definitely a false statement. Love Mike, but he's just got just such a funny personality. He's always always getting after this and that, and just always got great comments. And I just really needed to get Mike on Mike. Yeah,
it was Mike on Mike.
It was great. Yep.
And then of course you also saw our boy from Briar Nation as well.
That's right. Jeremy Feliciano, got to interact with him a good bit at the Chicago Pipe Show, and it was cool. Jeremy's such a funny guy, but such a nice guy. He's really gracious, and he started something really special with Briar Nation, and so the two interviews that we did there in Chicago, I really wanted to focus on kind of the pipe community as a whole. We talk on Country Squire Radio a lot about pipe culture, and there are so many, carvers and blenders and retailers that I could have interviewed there in Chicago. But I wanted to, try to reach out to people that were, had their finger more on the pulse of the culture in the pipe world, folks that, kind of knew more about, what us Joe Blow pipe smokers are doing, And that was really special. I think Jeremy and Briar Nation is a big part of that.
And then, of course, when you talk about culture, there are few out there who are not like just thumb on the pulse than our friend Eric from up in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, that's right. So Eric Karlowski, we had a great time with him. Got to reconnect with him at the show, and again, such a nice guy, such a talented blender, man. I just really am it was honored to get to hang out with him and get to know him. He's really encouraging to be there with another retailer who sees a lot of the same things. But Eric has this kind of unique perspective of not only being involved heavily in his own pipe club, the Furniture City Pipe Society there in Michigan, but he's also on the board, or at least heavily involved in the two major pipe club organizations that kind of organize all the other pipe clubs. And so I wanted to talk to Eric about that. The idea was, if you're a pipe club, or if you are interested in starting a pipe club or looking for resources, how can these organizations kind of help you do that? How can they facilitate that? What's the purpose of that? And how can you get plugged in? And I think that interview will be a good resource for you.
All right, man. So sounds good. Well, let's go ahead and jump into your interviews with Mike, Jeremy, and Eric.
Great, man. The time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago. All right, so I'm on the show, the floor of the Chicago Pipe Show, and I have the pleasure of talking to one of the best blenders in America, and certainly a favorite of the Country Squire, and Mr. Mike McNeil from McClellan Tobacco. So how are you today, Mike?
I'm doing fine. We've had a fabulous show, better attended than even last year. We've had probably 1,000 people through this show in 2 days, and we came out with our 40th anniversary. We had to do that because our 40th year, and we did a Red Virginia Flake
Yeah.
It's kind of in between number 27 and Christmas Cheer, with Red from North Carolina. All the Leafs at least 5 years old that was raw that we used to make the cakes. Then we further aged them. And I cut them into squares bigger than Christmas Cheer.
Yeah.
But a little bit smaller than 27.
Okay. Okay.
And I think the Red Virginia is the greatest. I think it's way better than any lemon-colored Virginia because it's richer, it has more oils. Usually, if you can find the good stuff, which is very difficult anymore, it has more sugar, and it just has more depth of flavor.
Yeah,
that's why I do it.
That richness that comes with that.
In fact, if I could get rid of all lemon I had and just have red, I'd just do it.
Red
is very rare. Years ago, back in the 50s and 60s, the old guys in the business, if you said the word Dapple Virginia, they knew what it was.
Yeah.
It was the red, sun-spotted red Virginia.
Okay.
Now everybody's young and stupid and doesn't know what it means. So now we're into the new days where, you know, I still call the old guys down in North Carolina. And that's where all the Leaf comes from, is North Carolina.
Okay. So, you know, you kind of see this in some sense maybe as like a successor to Christmas Cheer. Is that kind of, I mean, since the FDA stuff and all
that. Right, I'm still not sure what they're going to do, and I don't know what I'm going to do either.
Right.
When they do whatever they do.
Right.
So, it's kind of like that, but we had to come out with a 40th anniversary.
Yeah, man, McClellan, 40 years, right?
And I've been in it 44 years.
Yeah, so you've been in the tobacco part, just the tobacco business 44 years.
Right, I was a blender at Diebel's in Kansas City that had four stores.
Okay.
And then I ended up at McClellan in 1980.
Right.
And so I've got 37 years in
there. So you always like to say you work for your wife, right?
Right, I do. She owns it, and I have no clue what happens in the front. And I don't know any of the retailers, even though we have 500. I don't know.
Right.
I know five of the old men in it.
Right.
And that's about it. And I have six computers, and I don't even know where the on switch is, and I don't want to know.
Well, you know, if you're a blender, you know, you're back there doing the important stuff that keeps the business running, I guess. But yeah, it's funny because every time I call to order something, you know, I talk to Mary or Christy, and you know, just always good, but don't ever have the chance to talk to you because you probably don't like the phone
much. I was banned from the phone 25 years
ago. Yeah, that was probably a wise move, I would
right.
think.
Right, yeah. Oh yeah, well.
That's great. So you met Mary, I guess, through the tobacco industry.
And yeah, then, McClellan.
Yeah.
When I started there in 80 and...
Yeah.
It's a long story and
yeah.
all that, and we ended up getting married in 93. And I said this the other night in front of hundreds at the first dinner, without her, I'd be out in the street with a piece of cardboard.
I believe it.
Nothing left. She's smarter than I am. She hand paints all the labels.
Yeah.
She invented all the Throgmortons. She's one of the greatest taste testers that's ever lived in history, probably in the top five.
Yeah.
So I let her approve whatever I do, and she approves what she does, and then that's how it goes.
That's
out.
Right.
If she doesn't like it, it never goes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's good to have someone sane on your staff. That
right. And how many women are great pipe tobacco taste testers?
Yeah. I mean, well, how many women are even pipe smokers? You know, it's a growing thing, which we're thankful for, but. Not, you know, probably not what we'd like it to be. So 40 years, I mean, McClellan's been around that long now, which is, you know, awesome. Of course, y'all are, you know, the king of Virginia tobaccos and, you know, make some of the best things on the market, certainly that we have carried at our shop. But so you told us some about the 40th anniversary. It's a beautiful blue tin. You said Mary does the artwork for the
right, they
the
originally
stuff.
Did that emblem, and
right.
she watercolors and paints all the Throgmorton labels and all the different labels we have. She's never had an art lesson in her life. She just goes home and
does
it.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's really
I know. I can't even draw a straight line.
I know. and then the Best of Show actually won the Best Aromatic here at this year's Chicago Pipe Show. Is that right?
Right. A couple of years ago, we won Best of Show with number 27.
Yeah.
And then we won. Well, I didn't know whether the aromatic thing, a lot of the guys don't like it. But they wanted us to do it, so we did it. Luckily, yeah. I won.
Yeah, so Best of Show really was Best of Show, yeah.
Right.
That's great. Can you tell me about kind of the, I mean, what's going on with this particular tobacco?
It's a vanilla smell that I personally don't like. But
if you only made stuff you'd like, you'd have a very limited market.
Right. So, right. And a lot of the guys in here, that's why I was apprehensive about it, because a lot of guys in here would never even want to walk by the can open.
Right.
They only want the Virginias.
Right.
Or a Latakia blend. But the aromatic smokers that like that, they love that.
Yeah.
That smooth, god awful room filling aroma, and that's fine.
That's your thing, right?
One Q from Lane's still the biggest selling aromatic in the world.
Yeah, that's it.
So. And I'm not downgrading them. If they like it, that's fine.
Right.
You know?
No, it's to each his own kind of thing. But
right,
yeah.
I don't like Volvos, but some people like them.
That's right. Man, well, good deal. I you know, I've noticed too that most of your blends.
People don't like Brian Levine. I happen to like him. He's a smart ass, but I am too, so it all works out.
You know, I think y'all compliment each other pretty well.
Oh, we do. I'm always thinking of the next thing to say to him.
Yeah, yeah. That's the problem with Brian, is that you always have to think ahead in the conversation.
Yeah, you have to have wit, and you have to be able to ridicule him on the spot.
No, on the spot. So it's almost like you have to prepare, you know. It's just, but the good thing about Brian is he gives you so much material to do that with.
Because just ridiculous. Standing there looking at him, I'm going to say something.
No, you got, I mean, he's a walking time bomb.
He's wearing a velvet jacket today that went out back in the disco days in about, you know, 71. So, you know, and he's wearing a disco coat.
It's great, man.
He does that so the women rub his arms.
I think you're right. I think
he does. He goes up and asks him, "Hey, you want to rub me? I got a velvet jacket on."
And you're like, "No, when he asks me that, I'm afraid I might catch something, you know, if I do." Right. So, right. It's questionable hygiene, you know. You got to watch out. So, dude, Mike, thanks for coming on with us. I know, you know, you've had a busy show, and it's kind of winded down here. We're on Sunday.
It's one of the greatest shows I've ever been to.
I'm glad, man. I'm glad you
probably the greatest in Chicago. Yeah. I mean, it's still a lot of people.
It's
in
been
here
slammed. It's been really slammed. I know last year was my first year here, and it was crowded, but this year has been insane. Of course, they had more vendors this year than they
I think all your listeners ought to really try to get here next year.
I agree.
It's the greatest show on earth, and that's it.
Yeah, if you're a pipe smoker, there's no better place to be. So
right. And all the guys are friendly, and a lot of us know each other for 30 years, and it works out.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Mike, thanks for coming on with us, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Appreciate
nice to talk
everything.
To you. Absolutely.
Yes, all right, busting in real quick to talk about the sponsor this week. Of course, our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. Missouri Meerschaum, you know, obviously a big fan and big sponsor of Country Squire Radio. They make incredible pipes that are very reasonably priced and excellent quality.
Yes, sir. Last week we talked about the freehand. Guess what? Talking about it again, because it's just that good. Beautiful bowl that's on that thing. If you've not gotten a chance to smoke a freehand from Missouri Meerschaum, yeah, it's a little bit of a higher price, but you know what? The prices at Missouri Meerschaum, I mean, come on.
They're just reasonable, man. They really are. You get a great pipe. The freehand is a very well-constructed pipe. It's got a very high-quality stem with a little extra decoration or ornamentation maybe than you'd find on other Missouri Meerschaums, and just a real generous bowl. So it's a nice pipe, a handsome pipe with a nice a black stain around that finish, and I think you'll really enjoy it, and it'll make quite a statement.
It's a gorgeous pipe. Pick one up, smoke it this week, tweet it in, and we will retweet it out. Big thanks to the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum for helping make this show happen. And now, John David, it is time to throw it back to you at the Chicago Pipe Show.
All right, well, still here at the Chicago Pipe Show, and I had a real great opportunity this weekend to meet someone that I've interacted with online but haven't met in person. It was cool. I was actually sitting at the bar of the hotel drinking some crummy beer a couple nights ago, and this guy says, "Hey, John David, you want to come sit down?" And I turn around, and it's Jeremy Feliciano, and Jeremy is the founder and guy that actually runs Briar Nation, one of the most popular pipe communities on, I guess, on Facebook. But yeah, you know, it's more than that.
It's up and coming. Facebook, Instagram. It's a completely different community.
Yeah, yeah.
It's rugged.
It's a little rugged. Yeah.
Yeah.
well, Jeremy, like, so tell me a little bit about you, and then let's talk about Briar Nation. But tell me, like, where are you from? Kind of, what's your background?
I'm originally from Holyoke, Massachusetts. I grew up there pretty much my whole life. You know, and then teenage years, whatever have you, after high school, did college for a little while, and decided I was going to join the Navy. Joined the Navy in 2010.
Yeah.
And been at it ever since.
Yeah, you're full-time, right?
Yeah, full-time active duty, been in for 7 years.
Okay.
Should be re-enlisting here pretty soon.
It's awesome.
Ride it out till 12. Really as long as I can, you know?
You love it, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do, man. I love it. I love every bit of it. I'm a Navy corpsman, so I work a lot with Marines.
Okay.
And, man, that is just completely, totally parallel from working in the Navy and the regular Navy, because these guys are, you know, very professional and very respectful. And it's just... It's a completely different beast, man.
It's fascinating, that you get to see both, you know, sides of that coin, I guess.
But, yeah.
So where are you stationed now? Where do you live now?
Right now, I live in Chesapeake, Virginia. I'm stationed in Norfolk.
Okay.
I work at a base down there, doing admin stuff, medical admin stuff.
Yeah.
For a headquarters unit.
Okay. So. Okay. That's great. So you took... You took some leave to come to the Chicago Pipe Show.
Yeah.
You've been a pipe smoker for a little while.
About 7 years.
About 7 years. Yeah. So how did you start smoking a pipe?
How did I start smoking a pipe? It kind of happened by accident, really. I mean, we walked into a smoke shop one day, and one of my buddies is going to buy some dip, and and I said, hey, I want to try one of those crappy pipes. Like, I bought a pipe, and I just bought, like, a pouch of Captain Black.
Yeah,
and
burned the mess out of your tongue and all that.
Burned the crap out of my tongue, but I thought, oh, my God, this is the best thing ever. You know, I need to keep doing this.
Yeah.
And so, So, I mean, that's where it started. And then another, you know, it was probably like 2 years smoking crappy tobacco. And
right.
And then when I got back from a deployment, I found out about, you know, the good stuff.
Right.
So I started to delve into things. You know, eventually you go from, and it's pretty much every pipe smoker's journey, you go from your aromatics to your Englishes.
Right.
And then you graduate and get some big boy pants and start getting
into
the Virginias and Burleys and whatnot. So that's where I'm at right now, and pants are staying.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm sure some of our aromatic smokers that are listening will maybe have words with you. But the great thing is if they're members of Briar Nation, they can give you a really hard time on there, which is very common. So I love Briar Nation. Let's pivot towards that a little bit. Give me some background on, you know, what Briar Nation is and what your idea was when you started.
So I started Briar Nation in 2014. I had just come back from a deployment in Japan. I guess the backstory to Briar Nation is that I had gotten involved in the online forum, like pipe forum community, Pipes Magazine specifically, and I was on there for a while, made a lot of great friends, and I was on there as much as I could during deployment.
Right.
And somebody caught wind that I was on deployment. This guy named Tim from Nevada, I'll never forget it. And he pretty much said, hey, man, you know, let me get your address. I want to send you something. And I got this giant box in the mail a few weeks later while I was in Japan. And there must have been like 4 pounds of tobacco in there and like a bunch of pipes and pipe cleaners and whatnot.
That's awesome.
That blew me away, man. I shared it with everybody in the platoon, and then you know, eventually we came back, and I was like, all right, you know, there's not really a veteran presence at all in the pipe community.
At least not an organized one.
Not an organized one.
Right.
There's definitely veterans out there. Surprisingly, I've met a lot of veteran pipe makers.
Yeah.
But there's not a you know, solid community, a core group of veterans out there. So we started Briar Nation in 2014. First year was a little bit slow. We had maybe like 500 members, but
a little slow. 500 members.
It was a very enthusiastic 500.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
because everybody was coming in and like we were doing contests and whatnot, but all the members would donate stuff, you know, and be right. like, hey, yeah, we want to donate a bunch of pipes or whatever and tobacco so we could do a contest for the group, you know, just to get things going, just yeah. so we could grow. Yeah. Everybody wanted to grow the group, you know, because they wanted to be out there.
It's almost and, like, I hate to use the word fraternity, but, it, you know, it, you mentioned, I think, the other night, it's like, it reminds you of being in the platoon kind of thing. You
it
know
really
I mean?
Is.
It's just I a mean, bunch of knuckleheads, like y'all are, I mean, it, describe kind of the feel of the forum, you know, at Briar Nation. Like what, in PG terms, can you describe it?
Man, it's kind of like, it's like Heartbreak Ridge, all right? When you first get there,
right,
everybody's just—it's pretty rough. Right?
Yeah,
you're gonna get a hard time. People are gonna mess with you.
Right,
but eventually,
well, you're just kind of like earning your stripes. You know what I mean?
And that's exactly what it is,
no,
man. You gotta go in there,
just a little hazy,
and
you gotta
earn your reputation.
That's
because we're gonna bust your balls until
that's right.
until you get it right.
That's right.
And you understand what the group's about, and you understand that like.
Yeah.
In our group, it's you got your guy's back, whether he's right or wrong, you know, kind of deal thing. It was,
and so for those of us that haven't been in the military, we can, you know, there are those of us that are a part of it that, you know, obviously aren't. But you have that feel in Briar Nation of kind of, you know, look, we're all in this together. We've got each other's backs, but we're going to have fun. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Absolutely. So, yeah. Man, there's a general understanding in our group that, you know, this is life and nobody gets out alive.
So, I'd say if you don't leave with some wounds, you haven't had enough fun.
Yeah,
guess,
exactly,
right?
Man. If there's no battle scars, you ain't having a good time.
That's right.
But, I mean, yeah, like I said, there's a lot of camaraderie, and not just on the veterans part, but they definitely make the group. But it's just awesome to bring in people from all over the place and people from all over the world.
Right.
I mean, initially when I started it, I had the only intention I had was to bring in a bunch of, you know, American veterans.
Right.
And it ended up turning into, we got guys coming from Australia, the UK, Norway, Switzerland.
That's awesome, man.
Like military guys from all over the world.
Yeah.
And then you get in like all the, you know, people that have family that was in the military or people that don't have any experience at all in the military,
right.
but certainly want to understand the culture. And there's a lot of guys that come in here and, you know, they do really well, man. They do really well.
That's right. You just got to hold your ground a little bit.
You do,
you know,
man.
You can't have thin skin. You know, you got to be willing to, you know, just take your lumps and then be willing to dish it out.
Yeah,
you know?
And don't dish it if you can't take it.
If you can't take it.
You're
going
to get some.
Yeah. So is Briar Nation open for anyone to join, or how does that
Yeah, absolutely. It's open for anybody to join. We're on Instagram and Facebook, and we have a website, briarnation.com.
Yeah.
And that's where we keep, like, all our merch. There's a forum on there, but, I mean, Facebook and Instagram itself is
that's kind of the main
forum. So active that,
right.
you know, that forum doesn't really get utilized a lot.
Right.
Because we started on Facebook.
But you are selling some items on your website, right?
Yeah.
You see the Briar Nation patches all over the place.
Yeah,
which are really cool.
We got patches. Yeah. We got t-shirts. A little while back, we had Zippo lighters. And
I want one of those. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. We had Zippo lighters and dog tags.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you're
a lot of
back the dog tag.
Yeah.
You got to bring back the dog tag.
That's got to be a staple.
That's clutch. Yeah.
So that's on the agenda.
That's awesome. All right. Well, so, you know, as far as personalities on Briar Nation, I mean, do you have pipe carvers on there? Is it mostly just smokers, or is it just a little bit of everything? I mean,
there's people from all over the place. We have a lot of pipe carvers on there. Guys like Basil Meadows, Jim Brown.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I got to meet those guys this weekend.
Yeah, they're Jim is actually an admin in our group. Me and him been running the group together for a while now.
Okay.
We have like 6 or 7 admins that all help operate the group. So,
right.
I mean, literally, like the page is being monitored 24/7.
Well,
it has to be, just because, you know, sometimes it gets a little out of hand.
It gets a little rough.
And we
right.
got to make a content adjustment.
Right.
That's what I like to call it.
Content adjustment.
So, but otherwise, I mean, yeah, there's, like I said, there's people from all over the place. And
That's
a lot of
great.
People that I've run into here at the Chicago show. You know, guys that do like leather work and
right.
a bunch of pipe makers and stuff.
Right.
So, Yeah,
that's really good. Well, it's a diverse group. I love, and I, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, and get you on mic during the show was, you know, I could go interview a fleet of, you know, pipe makers or, you know, tobacco blenders or whatever, but, you know, I like the focus on the pipe community. You know, it's like there's just such a renaissance right now of, you know, just enthusiasts, you know, that are just
absolutely
into it, and not just into it, but we're creating a culture around it that, you know, on our show we've talked about a lot. And I think Briar Nation is a really unique but a really important part of that, you know, and I like to see that.
Yeah, because, I mean, pipes in general have been around, especially in the military community, for a really long time. You know? I mean,
oh, man.
Civil War and beforehand.
Well,
you know?
Think, where did the, you know, concept of a Navy tobacco come from? Well, the British Navy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You could thank the sailors for that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. So
yeah, it's, I like that it brings out a lot of enthusiastic people that you wouldn't otherwise see in other communities. I think what's unique about what we do in our group,
right,
is that people aren't afraid to say what's on their mind.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, yes, there's instances where it's not something nice that they have to say, but
right,
for the most part, it's a lot of people come in and they are very adamant about getting more involved and getting other people involved.
Yeah.
And especially with the nature of the group.
Right.
Because, you know, the camaraderie aspect of it is such a big part of our group.
It's a good feeling.
It's really important to us.
Yeah.
So we encourage people to, yeah, I mean, there, it's not uncommon for a member to just be like, and without even telling like any of the admins, be like, hey, listen up, mofos, whatever, we're about to do a contest, or I'm gonna do a giveaway.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna give away a pipe and a bunch of my tobacco or whatever.
Yeah, people are making it fun for other members.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. People,
because they, it really is it, the camaraderie.
Yeah, they make it fun for everybody else.
That's really fun. I mean,
and that's constant, dude. Like that happens all the time.
That's
so
great.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Well, man, dude, thanks for hopping on mic with me, and thanks, I mean, more importantly, for your service and, you know, all the folks at Briar Nation that have served our country and other peace-loving countries in the world, too, it sounds like, which is really sweet. But,
We do, every year we do this Pipes for Troops thing.
Oh, I wanted to ask
and,
you about that.
I almost forgot to
mention it. I'm glad you brought it up.
But every year we do this Pipes for Troops thing. And we get a lot of donations in from people all over the place.
Right.
If there's anybody that wants to get involved, you know where to find us.
Yeah.
Pretty much what we do is once or twice a year. This year it'll be around the holidays.
Okay.
You know, people donate stuff, we buy stuff, and package up care packages. We usually have like a cob, a briar pipe, some tobacco, tampers, pipe cleaners, basically the works.
Kind of everything you need.
Yeah, everything you need. And we put together little care packages and send them out. Last year we sent about 25 or 30 packages to an army unit out in Afghanistan.
Nice.
And man, those guys are just ecstatic.
Oh, I bet they ate that up.
Yeah, the pictures that we got of everybody sitting around smoking their pipes and whatnot. Those guys needed that, man. It was awesome. It was a huge morale booster for them. And it was a huge morale booster for the group, and it was very encouraging to everybody. And that's a very important part of Briar Nation.
Yeah.
You know, aside from the camaraderie or whatever.
Yeah,
it's,
sure.
You know, taking care of our own and doing that specific event every year.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So if you're listening and you're, you know, interested in that, you know, go to Briar Nation's website, which is just, is it briarnation.com?
Yep.
Is that right?
Briarnation.com.
Go there.
Look up Briar Nation on Facebook.
Look it up on Facebook, and you'll, I guess, request to join the group or if you can take the heat and all that. So, well, man, Jeremy, thanks for hopping on with me, man. And good luck to you. I guess you're about to head on home, huh?
I'm leaving out tomorrow morning. I'll be meandering for the rest of the day.
Okay, cool.
But, this definitely won't be the last of seeing me.
That's right. So I got it.
We'll be talking a lot more, man.
That's great, man. Well, thanks a bunch, all right?
One more time, jumping in real fast to talk about our second sponsor this week, thispipelife.com.
That's right. That's right. Man, it was so good to see some of the folks with thispipelife.com at the Chicago Pipe Show. Of course, a lot of the folks that are, you know, are faithful Country Squire Radio supporters and listeners are you know, very dedicated members of This Pipe Life. And, you know, we were happy to interact with them, big supporters of, you know, the pipe industry and community. And thispipelife.com, it's a great resource for folks that are looking for a place online to get to know other pipe smokers, maybe ask questions of other pipe smokers, or just talk about, you know, whatever's going on that day, maybe swap stories on tobacco or, you know, compare advice or ideas. It's just a really great community for pipe smokers in general.
So check it out, thispipelife.com. Again, use the code CSR when you sign up. It's a great way to let them know that you heard about it on this show. Helps us out a big time. So thispipelife.com, use the code CSR when you register at thispipelife.com. Now back to John David Cole, his wacky adventures from the Chicago Pipe Show.
Da, 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 da. All right, so we're at the Chicago Pipe Show, and we're in the smoking tent right now. And actually, it's kind of neat because in the background, you may be able to hear the long smoke or slow smoke competition, depending on how you say it. We'll get into that later. But it's going on as we speak. And man, a good friend of mine just got done and agreed for me to abuse him and hop on mic a little bit. And man, I was glad to have him. I want to introduce our listeners, Eric Karlosky. From Furniture City Pipe Society in Michigan, and man, just wanted to talk to you some about your pipe club and you know, some other things about pipe clubs about the country. But man, how you doing today?
I'm awesome today.
You doing okay?
Yeah, yep. My mouth is kind of numb from all the bowls I've smoked. But this has been a great weekend.
That's awesome, man. That's great. Did you how did you do in the long smoke or slow smoke or whatever you call it?
Well, I've never really been a huge, like, fan of these things, but I do them because my club, there's people in my club who really likes them, and then my club is associated with some organizations that really emphasize those. So I kind of do it for the sake of my club.
Right.
I usually go out about 26 minutes in. Today I was about 32.
That's good.
There's no awards being given here.
Right. Man, that's great. Tell me what part of Michigan you're in again.
Grand Rapids.
You're in Grand Rapids.
Which is on the west side.
And I know Bo, of course, has interacted with a lot of y'all's club members up there. But Furniture City Pipe Society, Furniture City, is that's Grand Rapids' kind of nickname, or what? Where did that come from?
Yeah, Grand Rapids used to be a very big manufacturer of furniture.
Yeah,
at the turn of like the
turn of the
20th century.
Okay. Cool.
And it kind of, you know, that's there were the big labor unions kind of started there, and there was a lot of like rioting and So
that's kind of where that comes from. Okay.
Yeah.
And how many members do y'all have?
This year, currently, we have 34.
Okay.
Our membership kind of expires at the end of the year, and then people have to kind of pony up again and pay.
Right.
But last year, I think we ended around 52 or so.
That's a good sized club.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
And they're wonderful people.
Yeah. That's great. So and you're in the business too, right? You're a tobacconist. You're a retailer. Kind of describe, you know, the shop that you work at and you know what you do and all that.
Yeah, I manage Indian River Tobacco Traders.
Yeah,
which is a mouthful. and traditionally, it was a store where we sold a lot of really high-end roll-your-own tobacco through Mark Ryan of Daughters and Ryan.
Right.
And
he makes great stuff.
Yeah.
And saved Parikh, by the way.
He's done a lot of things.
Yeah.
And as I've managed it, I've tried to move it into more of like your pipes, traditional pipes and pipe tobaccos.
Yeah.
So I've raised the amount of pipes we have, tobaccos we have, tins.
That's great.
And cigars as well.
That's great. Well, and you've got the pipe club there to really support you and all that, which makes it nice.
It's one of those things where without the guys and women in our club, we would have almost no business in terms of
You know, it's so funny to me. I've talked to other retailers that have had trouble, you know, getting pipe clubs to form and start. And it sounds like for your area and for mine, like it's just kind of come not easy, but I mean, it's just there's a natural interest in building that. I mean, people want to get together and smoke pipes. So I don't know. I really do encourage other retailers to help try to form these groups, because they, I mean, it's going to help their business anyway. But I mean, it really, really is just good for pipe smoking in general.
Yeah, I think it's essential that pipe clubs meet at brick and mortars, and of course with more places that you can't smoke in.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's mutually beneficial for both.
Yeah,
because it gives us business, but it also allows our pipe club to meet at a place.
Right,
and you know, they can learn from people who have the knowledge and education.
Exactly.
Of tobacco.
It's almost like an incubator for the next generation of pipe smokers. You know, people to stick with it. They have a resource, and you know, it's the only place you'll probably see an 18-year-old hipster and a 75-year-old man smoking a pipe together. You know what I mean?
And talking politics and not arguing.
Right. That's so awesome. Yeah. I think we had talked about the pipe almost kind of bringing a sense of peace or something, you know, even to the conversations like that. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, you load a bowl, and from the top of it to burning to the bottom of it, you're stuck there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if you're talking with somebody, even if you don't, if you go, oh my gosh, I don't agree with anything they're saying, you still have to be considerate and hospitable.
Well, it just forces you to be a little more thoughtful. Which
yeah.
Is not, yeah, which is really nice. So, okay, so Furniture City, and I, you know, it's funny, it's kind of embarrassing. I'm still learning about some of this, just how the, you know, club structure is set up in the nation and also internationally. But Furniture City is a member of greater pipe organizations, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and so can you, and you're on the board, I think, of both these, or involved in some way with both of them.
Yeah, I am now.
Okay, you are now.
As of this weekend.
Maybe by force, right?
But maybe.
So tell me about the greater pipe club organizations and, you know, some history about those.
Well, I'll have to limit the history because it's very long.
It's kind of complicated.
But pipe clubs typically have a hard time figuring out how to get started.
Yeah.
And so back in 1948, over in the Flint area, there was an organization that started called the International Association of Pipe Smokers Clubs.
Okay.
And that's a total mouthful. And they usually just
only say, a pipe smoker would come up with a name like that. Right.
And they started as an organization that its sole purpose was to organize pipe clubs and to kind of support them.
Yeah.
So then the other organization started, I believe it was in the 70s, called the UPCA, the United Pipe Clubs of America.
Yeah, okay.
And that's the one that kind of does their slow smoke competition here.
That's right.
And that organization also exists to kind of encourage the start of pipe clubs,
right?
And also slow smoke competitions.
Okay. So the slow smoke is a real key part of that. I mean, it
yes.
really. I guess right now, anyway, the clubs traditionally have kind of really developed a lot of interest and regularity of people coming together because of the slow smoke stuff, which is fascinating. Your club has actually done a fast smoke competition.
It was amazing.
Can you tell me about that? I thought this was such a cool idea.
Some members might not want me to talk about it.
And it's okay if we need to, you know, go somewhere else.
Unlike a lot of pipe clubs, our club kind of averages the age. Like the median age is like late 20s, early 30s.
That's so awesome.
And for a while we were like trying to recruit like elderly men and women. But it's also a time, and we meet later in the evening.
Yeah.
So, and it was like pulling teeth trying to get people interested in doing a slow smoke.
Right.
And both of these organizations that we're a part of encourage it to the point where it almost is like so redundant to hear about it like every couple of months.
Just kind of
and of course
super regular.
Yeah, but when you do it, it's really enjoyable.
Right.
But I can't get anybody involved.
Interesting, yeah.
And so I'm the kind of person that really likes to just kind of step over the line occasionally or just kind of push buttons.
I just mix it up a little bit.
And I was like, why don't we just do a fast smoke? And I saw this YouTube video of four guys in England smoking clays like in a fast smoke type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, we've got to do it. So we picked a nonprofit. It's a no-kill animal shelter in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
And we charged $10 a person, and all of the proceeds went to this no-kill animal shelter.
Okay.
And we had corn cobs donated from Missouri Meerschaum.
Yeah.
And because the tenons all melted, And after 2 minutes, everybody was smoking the Cobb without a burnout. Any no burnouts.
That tells you about a Missouri beer from pipe. You know, that's totally I mean, because I'm sure if you're think about how much pressure you put on it with a fast smoke. You know, you melted the freaking tenon, but the Cobb didn't burn out.
Yes. And so that's crazy. This next year, Old German Clay Pipes is donating clays.
Yeah, that's great.
When I tried smoking a fast out of a clay, it was almost like the clay was going to explode.
Right.
It was so hot.
It's like touching the eye of a stove or something, you know? Yeah.
It was like throwing the ring into Mordor.
That's great. So the logistics of a fast smoke, the goal is to burn through your tobacco as much as you can, and then you mentioned you have to, when you're done, you pour your tobacco out and the judge picks through it to see if there's anything left?
Yes. If there's any tobacco left, it's got to be reloaded on the clock.
Right.
And then relit.
Okay.
And then smoked.
Okay. So what's the fastest time someone gets through a bowl?
Well, this last year, the winner was about 4 minutes and 40 seconds or 5 minutes and 20 seconds. But after about 2 minutes, they were just smoking Cobb.
Wow. So that's amazing.
We didn't really know what to expect. And it was fun. And everybody was having a great time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quiet. And nobody was, like, concentrating, other than maybe concentrating to figure out where to put the saliva that was flowing out of our mouths.
I know, right? It's like you got to bring a rag, you know, or something. Well, man, that is so cool. Something y'all do that's kind of fun on the side like that, which is good. But of course, the emphasis typically is on the slow smoke competition. It's really funny. I've gotten a little flack this weekend because Bo and I and a lot of people in our area and I guess other regions in the South, for whatever reason, we refer to it as a long smoke competition. And I've had a couple people come up to me and they're like, "Hey, look, I got a bone to pick with you. You know, you dumb Southerner. It's like you call it a long smoke. It's a slow smoke. You're supposed to call it a slow smoke." And so now, I have all this incentive to continue to call it a long smoke because I know it's going to get under all these pipe smokers' skin. Yeah, it's really great. But anyway, it's a slow smoke officially, I guess.
You have to realize that the people that get in the top 5 and 10.
Yeah.
I mean, they train for this.
No, absolutely.
When you talk with the champions, they say that there's 40 things that they're thinking about.
Right.
On how to, everything from expecting the pipe before you light it to working your way through the tobacco.
Right.
And so it's really important. And these people will tell you that learning how to smoke slowly really does encourage teaching people how to smoke properly.
Right.
Now, I think on the other side of it, at some point, some people just kind of get tired of it. And so to bring a little levity to that.
It's just something different and fun
totally
and all that.
Different.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
Okay, so, let's say I'm in the middle of nowhere or more realistically in the, some city or town that doesn't have a pipe shop or a pipe club, but I want to, start one. What would you recommend those people do?
I would recommend going online and looking up the International Association of Pipe Smokers Clubs,
okay.
The IAPSC,
okay.
Or the United Pipe Clubs of America,
okay.
UPCA.
Okay.
And from there, these people, it's all volunteer work, and they are overly excited to get to get clubs on board.
Yeah.
And to talk with you about how to develop clubs and how to keep them running and get them thriving. And having people excited about smoking together and sharing in kind of that fellowship of...
That's awesome.
...of pipehood, I guess.
So both brothers of the briar or whatever, Yeah, I guess the organizations are super interested in helping you succeed because that's, what helps them succeed. So,
exactly.
Right, that's good. And it probably even goes down to, if you need any help with stuff like bylaws or any of that kind of stuff, too, I would think. But
yeah, there's a whole spectrum of that.
I mean,
our club has been around for 3 years. We started in the worship space of a church smoking.
Yeah, you had mentioned that. I thought that was awesome. Yeah,
and
it's your burnt offerings, right?
It was a holy incense unto the Lord.
That's right.
But then, there's a spectrum of how organized.
Yeah.
So our club, we just after 3 years. Crafted bylaws.
Okay.
Because up until then, it was very unorganized.
It was real
relaxed.
Fluid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because we kind of got so big and we we have a club blend every year now.
Yeah.
And so that stuff, like, it kind of demands a little bit of intentionality.
Yeah.
And so there are clubs that love their bylaws, and they've got 20 pages of bylaws.
Right.
And then there's us that's got, like, a page and a half or 2 pages, you know, or front and back, you know.
Right, right.
So we try to make it really minimal.
Just something kind of simple.
And it's all for the purpose of making sure everybody has a voice.
Yeah.
And that it's, and there's clarity and there's fairness with everything that a club does.
Yeah, you're not trying to, you know, develop some, you know, long statute or whatever. The goal is just to make the operations of the club simple and fair and all that.
Yeah.
So, and that makes sense. Okay. Well, by the way, you mentioned your club blend. I know it's not for sale or anything, you know, but I do have to mention that I did try it. And it was absolutely delicious. Tell me about that real quick.
So that was developed by Robert Bartholomew.
Yeah.
Who's a pipe maker, part of our club, a really talented artisan maker.
Yeah.
Who's very unpretentious about his work.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, just produces a great pipe.
Yeah.
And he came to me and said, here's what I want to do. I don't know how to do it. And so we kind of work together.
Yeah. You being a tobacconist, you kind of can maybe give him a little direction on, you know, some ingredients or whatever. Yeah.
It actually started with, he said, I want a version of Cornell and Diehl's The Beast.
Okay.
But I want it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so,
I mean, yeah, that's awesome. That. And you just kind of work with that. Well, it's called Double Fudge Brownie, right?
Yep.
And it is absolutely fantastic. I was in smoking it last night in the hospitality suite, and I was in a zen-like state, sipping my crummy beer, and which is tradition for me, and smoking this tobacco out of a American hand-carved pipe. It was really, really something. So that's awesome. And, you know, that's a good idea, too, for clubs out there to rally around. Just, you know, make it interesting. Have a have a pipe blend that's for your club, and get people involved in the production of it and stuff.
And there are tobacco companies that actually will come out and do blending competitions.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking here of a Scandinavian tobacco group.
I know, yeah. I know we had, at our shop, we had Max Stokeby come by one time and do that. And it's, you know, it's just fun to be able to connect with people like that, and you'll learn, you know, a lot just about what you're actually smoking, which is cool. So that's great. Well, dude, man, thanks for hopping on with me. I know it's kind of a pinch here. Things are crazy at the pipe show, and I was supposed to meet you at noon, but I stood you up, and so you're very gracious, and we made it work. But man, it's great to connect with you. And, wish Furniture City Pipe Society and
the Country Square.
And man, and thank you. Yeah, all the, and Indian River as well. Man, all the success in the world. So thanks
thank
for
you.
Coming on.
Hey, you're welcome.
All right,
you.
All right, brother.
Man, I just got to give you hats off, man. You did a fantastic job this week. That is to say, you did a fantastic job while you're in Chicago. If nothing else, it certainly proved the fact that I'm not as needed on this show as I thought I once was.
Oh, dude, whatever, man.
No, dude, you're a natural.
No, I'm telling you, like, I mentioned this on last week's show, but we make such a good pair because, like, you know,
You got chemistry with anybody, sir.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. You're the one that's the visionary, the one kind of pushing the envelope, and I'm the one that's, you know, kind of sits in the back and likes to puff on my pipe, and I think together we just kind of make a good team.
Well, one way or the other, you made a good team with our guest this week, who we all want to thank for sitting down with you for a couple minutes at Chicago.
Absolutely.
Man, just another great reminder of why, if you've never been before, it should absolutely be on your bucket list. Hey, we want to encourage you, if you've not made your plans already, join us June 5th for the 200th episode of Country Squire Radio Live. Details on that at countrysquireradio.com. Be sure to keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Of course, all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Man, Chicago. Well done.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was just such a good opportunity to, you know, connect with a bunch of people and get some, you know, awesome perspective on Mike. And, you know, it was good for maybe some of our listeners to not just hear you and me drone on about some ridiculousness and maybe hear from some other more sane people in the industry. Although, you know, Mike McNeil, he might be kind of questionable. But
it seems like him and Brian are two peas in a pod.
They are, man. Golly, it's so much fun being around both those guys. They're just great, and you know, and good friends. But anyway, it's good to have Mike and Jeremy and Eric all on the mic. Yeah,
all right, man. Good. Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.